This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of January 27th, 2005.
All right, police!
Bad Cop
No Donut!
Bad.
Cop.
No. Donut.
Because I'm the law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto.
When an adult or even myself looked at it at first, I was thinking, you know, there's really not much to the picture. I would not be that scared by the picture those children drew.
Police in Ocala, Florida have arrested two boys aged 9 and 10 and charged them with felonies after they drew stick figure drawings depicting harm coming to a fellow student. A teacher found the drawings and sent them to the school's principal, who called the police. Police decided to lay the charges, making a written threat to kill or harm another person, which is a second-degree felony, after consulting with the state attorney's office. Ocala police are standing by their decision to arrest the children. The children were also suspended from the school. A police officer in Balcones Heights, Texas, who is currently on trial for sexually assaulting six women, was accused of assaulting a seventh woman this week. The seventh woman was allowed to give testimony at the ongoing trial of Juan Jabbar Guidry, an officer who's facing life behind bars if convicted of his crimes. Guidry made a habit of pulling women over at traffic stops late at night when there was an increased chance that they would be impaired. The seventh woman claims that the officer touched her repeatedly in an unwanted and sexual manner and once pulled her over on her way home from work and forced her to perform a sex act on him. Guidry has not been charged with these crimes, but the woman's testimony was allowed because it established a pattern of behavior on the part of the officer. A month after those events, Guidry and another officer took five women who were suspected of public intoxication to a police station, where they groped the women and attempted to make them perform sex acts. Guidry is also accused of raping a 33-year-old woman in his squad car in December 2002. His trial is ongoing. This week, prosecutors filed formal charges against the two Broward County, Florida sheriff's deputies who were arrested in December for clearing a backlog of cases by falsifying documents and implicating people who could not possibly have committed the crimes. Deputies Christian Zapata and Christopher Thyman are both currently suspended without pay. Zapata has been charged with 14 counts of official misconduct and Thyman with 8. The charges are the result of a year-long investigation which uncovered evidence that the officers falsified confessions and blamed crimes on innocent people with indifference to the effects of their actions in order to inflate their success rate in closing cases. A third deputy, Joseph Isabella, was suspended without pay 6 months ago but so far has not been charged with a crime. A number of sources hinted to a Florida newspaper that Isabella had cooperated with investigators and had given statements admitting guilt to offenses similar to those that his fellow deputies are now charged with. An investigation into sexual misconduct by police officers in Athens, Alabama, has resulted in the suspension of a police lieutenant. Anthony Presnell has been suspended without pay for 10 days for having sex with a woman while on duty. Another Athens police lieutenant resigned last week, a result of the same investigation. Lieutenant Lee Kennemer chose to retire, a course of action that secured him both an end to the investigation against the veteran officer and his pension. The investigation began after several female inmates came forward claiming that they had had sex with police officers. Neither officer will be charged with a crime. The city of Elizabethton, Tennessee, and its police department responded this week to a police brutality lawsuit filed last November. A man was being arrested for public intoxication outside of a Walmart store when he says he was beaten by four officers, including Jerry Bradley, Richard Haney, and Sergeant Matt Bailey. The man claims that the beating continued until long after he lost the ability to resist the officers. He was taken for medical treatment after jailers discovered him semi-conscious after he had been incarcerated for 24 hours. In hospital, the man was treated for a skull fracture and needed emergency surgery. The man remained in a coma for several weeks. The response filed by the city indicated that the officers have already been cleared of any wrongdoing by a police investigation, and the officers themselves described the events as a typical intoxication arrest. Police in Toronto attacked a small crowd of demonstrators at York University last week who were protesting the inauguration of George Bush. Unprovoked police stormed into the crowd of protesters, beating and dragging several off to a smaller room where they allegedly continued the beating. A student who knocked on the door of the room where the beating was occurring was himself dragged into the room and beaten. Several of the arrested were charged with assaulting police officers. Local television stations repeated the absurd police claim that one of the protesters attempted to grab the revolver of one of the officers, even though three different videotapes were made available that show clearly that police were unprovoked by the protesters. Still, more information has come to light regarding a Whitehall, Wisconsin police officer who was recently convicted of sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl in his police car in 1996. At his trial, Officer Daniel Wineski was sentenced to 7 years in jail for forcing the girl to perform a sex act. Last week, we told you of a litany of other offenses committed by Wineski. This week, even more allegations have come to light, some of which suggest that his superiors knew about his activities long before he was charged. One of Wineski's fellow officers said he told the chief of police about an incident where Wineski made a convenience store clerk stand naked at her window while he watched from outside. Wineski's former partner says that he would frequently use binoculars to spy on teenage girls in their homes at night. He also said that Wineski drank alcohol with an underage girl at a party. Wineski's former babysitter claims that Wineski forced her to perform a sex act on him at gunpoint. She claims that he then threatened to plant drugs on her and have her arrested if she told anyone. Another woman claimed that Wineski pulled over her car when she was intoxicated and then took her to a secluded area where he handcuffed and fondled her. Another woman says that she had frequent sexual encounters with the officer when she was in high school. Another woman claims that Wineski masturbated in front of her after cornering her inside a store where she worked in 1988. He was in uniform and on duty at the time of that incident. Wineski was a police officer for over 20 years before he was charged with the crime he was eventually convicted for. Three police officers in Menlo Park, California, are before the courts this week after a civil suit was filed over excessive force used in a December 2000 arrest and then lying to cover up the beating. A man claims he was arrested because police did not believe he was staying at the house where they found the man. The owner of the home confirmed that the man was staying there, having just moved in. The police are accused of throwing the man face first onto an asphalt pavement and beating and pepper spraying the man, who required 17 stitches in his nose and chin afterwards. In an unrelated case, one of the three officers, Scott Nackdans, was accused of using excessive force and falsifying reports during a traffic stop last week. A 60-year-old man was charged with resisting arrest after that incident. The other officers named in the current lawsuit are Sergeant Matthew Bacon and Officer Kevin Paw. On Monday, a police officer in Farmington, Minnesota, pleaded guilty to sexual misconduct charges. Officer Jeremy Buss resigned from the force after being charged in late December. He is guilty of having a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old girl. His sentencing is scheduled for April 5th. One of the three police officers in Memphis, Tennessee, who were charged last month with a variety of charges, including attempted robbery and transporting drugs and prostitutes across state lines, has pleaded guilty to his charges. Officer John Vaughn agreed to the plea in exchange for leniency and his cooperation in the cases against his fellow officers, Billy Scott and David Tate. Even with his reduced charges, Vaughn still faces from 10 years to life behind bars. His sentencing is scheduled for May. Another of their co-accused, Tate's girlfriend, April Veach, also pleaded guilty to her charges in the same case this week. Neither Veach nor Vaughn have commented on their reasons for changing their pleas. The state attorney's office in Florida is reviewing an investigation of a Titusville police shooting last fall. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement delivered the results of their three-month investigation into the shooting this week. Officer Jeff Lutz fatally shot a man on September 23rd. The state attorney will now decide on whether or not to proceed with charges against the officer. Lutz remains on administrative leave. This week, the trial of a police officer in Scituate, Massachusetts, who is charged with two counts of open and gross lewdness, got underway. Officer Richard Johnson pleaded not guilty to exposing and fondling himself on two separate occasions in front of two different women. The first incident reported was from a woman who had come to a police station seeking information about her son on December 6, 2003. She claims Johnson unzipped his pants and touched himself in front of her. After her claims were made public, a second woman came forward accusing Johnson of a similar crime in 2001. The officer has been suspended with pay since the December 2003 incident. A police officer in Medina, New York, has been suspended without pay after two separate women complained of inappropriate sexual behavior. A woman reported that Officer Joseph Santoro engaged in sexually inappropriate behavior, and a second woman came forward shortly afterwards with a similar allegation. A three-month investigation followed. The precise nature of the offenses has not been revealed at this time, but it is expected that criminal charges will be filed against Santoro in the near future. A lawyer in Vancouver, British Columbia, is attempting to prosecute two police officers who beat up his 71-year-old client last September. In Canada, citizens can begin independent prosecutions without the assistance of the police or Crown prosecutors. The officers, who are identified only by their last names, Swanson and Whitaker, beat up the man after they saw him taking Tylenols in his car and believed he was trying to hide narcotics. They then pulled the man from his car, forced him to spit out his Tylenol, beat him, and slammed him against a wall, injuring him and exacerbating his previous medical conditions. After the beating, the officers refused to give the man their names or badge numbers. The man's complaint to the Vancouver Police Department was never acted upon. An investigation into a fired Tucson, Arizona police officer has revealed that the officer had over 1,000 pornographic images on his work computer. The investigation of Lieutenant Wendell Hutt began after he was fired for leaking and withholding evidence regarding a murder investigation. He was also suspended for 30 days in 2003 for having sex with a woman in his patrol car while on duty. A police dispatcher had also complained of sexual harassment from the officer. Last year, another high-ranking Tucson officer was fired after an investigation which culminated in what the officer believed was going to be a meeting with a 16-year-old for the purpose of having a sexual encounter. Officer Charles Ken Walter was arrested and charged with luring a minor for sexual exploitation and computer tampering in that case. The suspended police chief in Meriden, Connecticut, will have his fate decided by city council in the upcoming weeks. After his May 2004 suspension for alleged misconduct, the city hired an investigator to report on any wrongdoing by the chief, whose name is Bill Abitamateo. A 700-page report is currently being reviewed by council. The report reveals that numerous laws were broken by the chief, including employment at a second job, personal work on city time, falsifying crime statistics to create an appearance that he was doing a better job than he actually was, and erasing thousands of files from his work computer. A decision on whether or not to fire the chief will be made in 2 weeks' time. The chief of police in East St. Louis, Illinois, was arrested last week on federal corruption charges along with four other city officials. Ronald Matthews is charged with obstruction of justice. Matthews is accused of helping out a friend by returning an illegal firearm to him. The friend was prohibited from possessing the weapon due to previous convictions for domestic assault and selling counterfeit goods. Matthews then tried to cover up the crime by issuing a false police report and giving false testimony to a grand jury investigating the crime.
Officers became in fear for their own safety and were forced to shoot the man.
It's unbelievable.
Don't bother me at all. But, you know, I think they could probably talk the guy out of it.
A suicidal man was shot in the face by police in Kerrville, Texas, this week. Officer John Knowlton shot the man during a traffic stop. The victim remains in critical condition in hospital. A police officer in Billings, Montana, has been suspended while investigators look into allegations of excessive use of force. The officer is accused of behaving inappropriately when he responded to a fight on Christmas Eve. Investigators say that Officer Greg Jacobs may be guilty of serious misconduct, but declined to elaborate. Another Billings police officer was arrested for impaired driving last weekend after he flipped his car over on a highway and left the scene of the accident. Officer Shane Schaff has also been placed on administrative leave and charged with driving while impaired.
Not sustained simply means we can neither prove nor disprove the allegations, and that's what this one's been classified as.
I think it's ridiculous because I know what happened. My daughter did have her ashes in there. The cop knows what was in there. He knows that he dumped them out. He wiped them to the ground.
A man in Mount Dora, Florida, is considering a lawsuit after an officer intentionally dumped his baby's ashes on the ground last year. The man was attempting to walk to his home after Hurricane Charley when he was confronted by an unnamed officer. The officer forced the man to dump a bottle of prescription antidepressants. The officer then noticed a cross around the man's neck. When the man told the officer that it contained the ashes of his dead child, the officer yanked the cross from around the man's neck and dumped the contents onto the ground. The Mount Dora Police Department says the police did nothing wrong in the incident and note that there were no witnesses to the events. The chief of police in Bound Brook, New Jersey, who is already facing conspiracy, misconduct, and other charges, is now facing new charges. Chief Kenneth Henderson was charged with two additional counts of official misconduct on Tuesday relating to his release of several drug suspects who were later the same day arrested by another nearby police department. Henderson was charged in October with tipping off a local restaurant of an impending liquor license inspection. In addition to the murders we've already mentioned, police also killed people this week in San Jose, California, Port St. Lucie, Florida, Newark, New Jersey, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Indianapolis, Indiana, Howard County, Maryland. Two people were killed by police in Morton Grove, Illinois, and in Los Angeles, police killed four people within a 48-hour period this week. That's all for now. Tune into this station for more next week. Email your comments and story ideas to ihatepigs@hotmail.com. From CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, I'm Ron Anisich. Each week we end Bad Cop No Donut with a song. This week it's Police Insanity by Screeching Weasel.